Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Joshua. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then Joshua. Joshua chapter 2, we'll read verse 1 and 2 for now. "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went, and they came into a harlot's house, or a prostitute's house, named Rahab, and lodged, or stayed the night there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there are two men that have come in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to understand the text, the passage that we're studying. Please illuminate our minds. Please help us to see Jesus Christ. And somehow impress upon us that we ought to live a closer life, a closer walk, to desire more of the things of God in our lives. And we're careful to give Jesus Christ, the Son of God, all the credit. And Lord, we praise and worship you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you're counting, this is part 51 in our study of John the Baptist. You may have heard the story of Rahab the harlot. You may have. Just a few chapters later, this place, Jericho, that they marched around it 7 days and made a great noise, and the walls fell down flat, and then the armies of Israel went in, and they were victorious. You may remember it. Joshua, everybody knows about Moses, he led the children of Israel through the promised land, but he did not enter in himself. But Joshua, his protege, he took over, and then they went from there. And I don't have time to do it, but this chapter, there's a lot of symbolism. The narrative parallels when the Jews were in Egypt, and Pharaoh said, No, I won't let the people go. There's a lot in this chapter. But I don't really have time to bring any of it out. But one or two things I will point out as we go. But the king of Jericho, he sent a message to Rahab, the harlot, or the prostitute, which incidentally, as you're reading Matthew, and you're reading the genealogy of Jesus Christ, that he was the son of David, and it gives the whole list all the way down to Joseph. If you'll notice, Rahab the harlot is the great, 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 what have you, grandmother of Jesus Christ. Rahab, because she walked in faith and believed God, she is in the lineage of the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the king said, hey, there are these children of Israel that have come. They're going to spy out the land. And you need to surrender them because I have to protect my city, the king of Jericho said. And she lied and said, well, I didn't know where they were from. And when they left, I didn't know where they were going. But they went, you know, y'all need to go ahead and chase after them. And y'all can catch them. And then, hey, problem solved. But she lied. And then she gives a justification later why she lied. But she hid them on the rooftop behind or in amongst the stalks of flax. You go to a health food store, I guess you can find flax. But they take flax, which is grown, and they turn it into linen. And linen, I've got a shirt that's made out of linen. Maybe you've heard of it, a coat or something like that. But it's made from flax. But she hid them with the stalks of flax, lied to the king, and then went up and said, hey, in verse 16, it says, we have heard, us here in Jericho, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. And y'all walked over on dry land. And the Amorites, you destroyed those two cities, Sihon and Og. And we heard these things, you know, news travels fast. The caravan came and they told us. And it says our hearts did melt. And then she says, for the Lord your God, and she's pagan, she worshipped, I have no idea what the gods of Jericho were, but it wasn't the God of Israel. But she said that your God, he's the God in heaven above, and the earth beneath. Our pitiful little pagan idols, they don't work. But your God, when God speaks, even E.F. Hutton listens, if you're old enough to get that joke. So, she believed. She believed the testimony. She believed the gospel, if you would. But she said to them, look, I want to be saved. I don't want to be killed when you guys invade. I believe and I want to follow your God. And she says, look, give me a true token in verse 12. Give me a sign, give me a token to know that you've accepted me because I want to follow your God. Give me a sign that says, God, working through you, accepts me. And then she goes on to say, you know, I got my family, I want them to be saved too. And there's a lot of parallels, I said, between this and the story of the Exodus. But they said, look, that's fine. We'll save you. We'll save everyone in your house when we come to invade. But y'all stay in the house. Y'all stay in the house. Just as, look, when the death angel comes and he sees the blood on the doorpost and lintel, whoever's in the house, they shall be spared. But it says that she let them down by a cord or a rope. You can go to Home Depot or Ace Hardware or whatever and get a jute rope or a manila rope. I guess jute and manila is about the same. And honestly, a manila rope is made from the strands of the marijuana plant. But you can buy that, and I don't know what plant that they made this rope out of. But she let them down because she lived on the wall, a story or two up, I guess. But she let them down this rope. And then she says, look, go to the mountains and hide 3 days. Wait. Go to the mountain and hide 3 days. Just like Jesus was in the grave for 3 days. Again, there's all this symbolism. And then she said, well, you know, after 3 days, y'all can go and they're not going to be chasing you no more. And they said, okay, great. Look, you wanted a token. You wanted a sign. Well, here's your sign. You let us down this rope. Look, tie this red rope up and stick it in the window. And when we come in a week or a month or whenever it is that we come with our armies, we're going to see this rope and we're going to fight and destroy everybody else, but we're going to save everybody in your house that is protected by this red rope. And again, it symbolizes and meshes almost exactly with the blood that was over the doorposts and lintel. And everyone inside was spared. So, this is the gospel. She heard the message. She believed. She said, hey, I want to go on with God. I want to live. And here's this rope. This red rope that is the sign. And this red rope, it runs from Genesis to Revelation. We call it the scarlet thread of redemption. She was saved in verse 13 that hey, you guys, please deliver our lives from death. Well, we can be delivered from death and from sin. We can be redeemed. And we can know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We can go to heaven when we die. That message of salvation and redemption runs all through the Bible. Faith in Christ is all through the Bible. Genesis to Revelation, again, we call it the scarlet thread of redemption. And the rest of the story is that they went ahead down the rope. They hid in the mountains 3 days. And then they went back to the camp and they said, Hey, Joshua, man. And they told him the story. Hey, we're going to win this battle. Praise God. And I want to say to us today, we're going to win this battle. Praise God, because our Jesus, He paved the way. He paid the price for our salvation. Praise God, we're going to win this battle. And in fact, Jesus has already won it. All we need to do is trust in Him, hold His hand, and He'll walk us into heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But last week we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I want to go back there. And I guess I have to hurry. But we're talking about baptism. We did so last week or whatever. And we talked about the changed life that we should live. We should leave our sinful ways, our sinful thoughts, our sinful friends. And we should live for God. And baptism is a symbol of that lifelong dedication that, hey, we're going to live for God and not the devil no more. But Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. And we talked about that last week, but in verse 14 through 17, he says, I thank God that I didn't baptize none of y'all except Crispus and Gaius, lest anybody should say that I baptized in my own name. I mean, I did also baptize some of the folks in Stephen's house, Stephanus' house. And aside from that, I don't remember. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. But he said in verse 17 that Jesus Christ did not send me to go around baptizing people. He sent me to preach the gospel. Because the gospel saves, baptism does not. Now, we should be baptized, and I've got notes. Maybe I'll get to them next week, and gives you scriptures that says, hey, we ought to be baptized once we're saved. And that's great. But believing the gospel saves. And trusting in Jesus who died on the cross for us saves. And baptism is important. It's a command we ought to obey. It's a testimony. It says, hey, I want to go on with God. But baptism does not save. So Paul didn't go around baptizing, and Jesus, he didn't baptize either. John chapter 4, verse 1 through 4, it says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, and in verse 2, though Jesus himself he didn't baptize, he had his disciples do it. Then he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and then he must needs go through Samaria to talk to the woman at the well. So Jesus didn't send Paul to baptize, and in fact, Jesus himself, he didn't get his hands wet, if you want to use that terminology. He didn't baptize either. If baptism saves, or baptism causes conversion, or makes it happen, why didn't Jesus and why didn't Paul baptize everywhere they went? If the water saves, or the ritual of being baptized saves, why didn't they do it all the time? Well, duh, baptism doesn't save. Else, like I said, why didn't they do it all the time? But we have the record of Scripture that they really didn't spend a lot of time baptizing folks. But instead, Jesus called his 12 in Luke chapter 9, and again his 70 others also. In Luke chapter 10, it says, hey, go preach the gospel. Go heal the sick, go raise the dead, go cast out devils, go preach the gospel. But it does not mention that he said, hey, you guys go out and baptize. Because baptism is not the gospel. It's a part of it. It's certainly something we should do. We ought to be baptized, but it does not save. Baptismal regeneration is not a thing. You don't get saved in the tank. You get saved before they let you in the tank. There are some churches that say that you're not saved until we baptize you. And, oh, by the way, you're not saved until you join the church and we accept you and blah, blah, and whatever. There are churches in this city, in New Orleans, Metairie, Kenner, whatever, that teach that. And they're not correct. Baptism does not save. Church membership does not save. Now, there are verses that we will go over, Acts chapter 2 and Romans 6 and 1 Peter 3. We'll go into those in detail. But neither do those verses say that baptism saves. We're saved by believing in Christ, and we are justified or declared righteous before God by faith. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You get saved by believing, but doing doesn't help. Obeying rules, even the Ten Commandments, that's a good list of rules you ought to keep. But keeping rules or laws or dictates, they don't save. Romans chapter 4, it says that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And I'm running out of time, I really am. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, or those that are lost, foolishness. It's a silly story that Jesus would die for your sins. But if you're saved, if you believe it, you know that that foolish message saves your soul. The preaching of the cross, what I'm doing right now, it's the power of God. James, he said in chapter 2. Now we just said that Romans 3:28 says that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. But James chapter 2, verse 14, it says, what does it profit, though a man, he says he has faith, but he doesn't have works? Can faith save him? And he gives a couple of examples. If you see somebody on the corner and ain't hardly got no clothes, got no food, got no nothing, and you say to him, oh, God bless you, may God take care of you and whatever, but you don't give him anything, what have you done? What have you accomplished? It doesn't help that man anything at all to give him words and not a piece of bread or a couple of bucks or whatever. And I'm not saying you ought to go do that. But if all you have is words, you haven't done anything. He said, faith, if it doesn't have works with it, is dead. Faith without works is dead. And James gives a couple of examples, like I said. He talks about Abraham and Isaac. But look who else he talks about. Again, James chapter 2, verse 24 through 26. You see now how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise, was not also Rahab the harlot justified by works? Now, it says that she believed, and she says, hey, I want to go on with God, and I want a token, I want a sign that says that God accepts me. But Rahab the harlot was justified by works. She believed, but just believing by itself without doing is dead. Jesus said, hey, you love me? That's great. How about you keep my commandments? How about you obey me? Rahab was justified by works. She received the messengers. She hid them in the flax. And then she sent them out another way. Yes, she believed, but then she acted upon her belief. She acted upon her belief. She had good works with her faith. And she was justified by faith and also by the action or the works. And we're talking about baptism. If you give your life to Christ, if you believe the gospel, you say, yes, I want to live for God. I want to change, not do all that stuff tomorrow. I want to live for God. Well, then act upon your belief. Go find a church and ask to be baptized, because it testifies, hey, I want to go on with God just like Rahab said, hey, I want to live and not die. I want to go on with God. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.